What would you do? Would you say yes? And you risk your life? What would you do if you were asked, are you a Christian? About 9 years ago, at a small college in Oregon, a gunman entered the classroom. And according to NBC News, the shooter told people to stand up before asking whether they were Christian or not. Anyone who responded yes was shot in the head. If you were there, what would you do? Put yourself in the shoes of another. Martin Luther. Martin Luther had just nailed 95 theses to the Wittenberg Castle Church door in 1517. But it was in 1521 when he stood before the most powerful man in the world at that time, Emperor Charles V. Luther had echoed what the Bible taught, that a person is saved by faith alone in Jesus alone. And then standing before the Emperor Charles told Luther to take it all back. Take it all back, say it's untrue, that the Bible says you're saved by faith alone in Jesus alone. Say that it's untrue, take it back, that a person is acquitted from all their sin by Jesus' death on the cross. Take it back or be condemned. Take it back or be declared an outlaw where anyone can murder you without consequence. What would you do? Here you're standing before a man who could just crush you, destroy your life and your family. What would you do? Or put yourself in the shoes of another. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In our reading, these three men, they were from Israel, and they were dragged to the nation of Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. But as God would have it, they became important people in the king's empire. Important people. They had a good life. They had a government job. They were successful. They had everything they wanted. They were second in charge to the king. And then one day King Nebuchadnezzar ordered everyone to bow down and worship a statue that he had made, an idol, and anyone who would not bow down and worship that statue would be thrown into the fiery furnace. What would you do? We can imagine the kind of thoughts that might have been going around in the heads of these three men. Well, maybe if I just did this once, I'm just going through the motions. God would understand. He doesn't want me to lose my job. I can do so much more for him alive and doing this job than dead and in a fiery furnace. Well, if I just bow down this once, I'll just ask for forgiveness later. But there's no reasoning that can excuse what that bowing down of would be. It would be sin. What a choice. Either bow down and sin against the Almighty God or die in a fiery furnace. What would you do? What would you do? No, you and I, we'll probably never have to face the kind of decisions that those Oregon students or Luther or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced. And yet, how many decisions How many temptations come into our lives each day which lead us to make a choice between following God's will or not? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when you have that choice of following the ways of this sinful world or God's way? What do you do? Do you bow down to follow the world's way, the world's view on marriage? Well, it doesn't matter that much. Live together before getting married, that's okay. Or do you follow God's way? What do you do? Will you bow down to the idol of gossip, cutting people down behind their back instead of defending them, protecting their reputation? What do you do when you're at work or you're out with friends? Do you set aside your Christianity in order to fit in? Maybe use the same kind of language everybody else around you is using? After all, it's okay to be Christian, right? When we're here at church or in the privacy of our homes. But we don't want to display that too much when we're out with friends or we're among co-workers or, well, when we're out in the real world, right? What do you do when the choice is either hiding your Christianity or living it? No, we may not face the decisions like the three in our reading. But we face decisions every day of our lives, whether to follow God or not. And how many times have we gone against Him? What do you do? You repent. We repent of those times when we have bowed down instead of following God. We repent and throw ourselves at the feet of a merciful God. And what does He do? He saves you. And He stands at your side. Let's go back to our reading. You know, everybody else bowed before the king's idol. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they do, they remain standing. They refuse to bow down. And then they're taken before the king Nebuchadnezzar, taken right before him. You know, it's easy to disobey an order when you're far away from the throne. But how about when you're face to face with the king? What are they going to do? They're going to cave in? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar, "We have no need to answer you about this man. Since our God whom we serve does exist, He's able to save us from the blazing fiery furnace, so He may save us from your hand, Your Majesty. But if He does not, you should know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden statue that you set up. Under no circumstances were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were they going to bow down. And yes, they knew the consequences of that, death. And no, God did not previously give them a promise that they would miraculously be spared from that fire. No. But it didn't matter. If God wanted to rescue him, that's their business. That's God's business. But their business was simply to obey God no matter what. While raging with anger, what does Nebuchadnezzar do? You heard about that, right? He takes these three and throws them into that flame of the fiery furnace, which he made it 7 times hotter than it already was. And what happened? God did make it His business to save them. God sent an angel to protect them from the flames and so that they were not burned, their clothes were not burned, their hair wasn't even singed. And the thing that amazes me the most, they didn't even have smoke smell on them. if you walk within 10 yards of a campfire, you get smoke smell on your clothes, right? These guys did not have a single bit of a smoke smell on them. So what about you? What does God do for you? He saves you. He saves you as he sent Jesus, the Son of God, to save you. And look at what he has done for you. Jesus could have bowed out. Well, he could have bowed out of saving you. He could have sidestepped the ridicule and the pain and the suffering and the death. He could have done that. He could have simply said, no, it wasn't any of his business to save you. But he didn't. He made it his business. So he faced the ridicule, he faced the suffering, he faced the pain, he faced death itself. He was punished for those times when you and I bowed down to the idols of this world. He threw himself into the furnace of God's punishment so that you never would have to be. He went through the very fires of hell on the cross so that there is not a hint of hell's smoke on you. And he not only said that he loves you, he showed it with his actions. Also that you are now forgiven. We're forgiven. So what do you want to do? Jesus leads you to follow him. Covered with his forgiveness, you want to. He leads you to follow God's will. Covered with his forgiveness, he leads you not only to confess with your mouth, but also with your actions and your lives that you are a Christian. Covered with Jesus' forgiveness, he leads you to tightly hold on to his word and never let it go. Covered with Jesus' forgiveness, he leads you and me to say with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we will not serve false gods and we will not worship the idols this world has set up. Does that mean you're never going to face ridicule for being a Christian? No. God never promises that. Does that mean that God will save you from all harm in this life like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? No. God never said he would do that. Does that mean that you won't suffer pain, even death in this life? God never promised that. But he can do all of those things, but that's his business. Your business and mine is simply to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, and since Jesus has saved you, forgiven you, and made you his child, he does make you this promise. He will stand by your side. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I would have said if I were in that Oregon classroom. I don't know what I would have done if I were standing before the most powerful man in the world, Emperor Charles V. I don't even know what I would have done if I were in the shoes of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I do know what Jesus has said, what Jesus has done for you and me. He promises you the strength, his strength, as you endure the trials of this world. He promises not to fail you in the deepest trials. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were kept safe in that fiery furnace. For Luther, God kept him safe from the emperor. For those Oregon students, Jesus brought them home to heaven. What would you do? Well, the better question is, what has Jesus done for you? He saved you. And he promises to be at your side. Amen.